Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The Lord's right arm has done marvelous things. The Lord's right arm is raised in triumph. The Lord's right arm has done marvelous things. We will not die. Instead, we will live to tell what the Lord has done. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Forgive me, merciful and mighty Father, when my besetting sins entangle me and completely surround me. Who will rescue? Forgive me, Lord, when I am so eager to get, but so reluctant to give, so ready to receive your gifts, but so unwilling to bear your cross. Who will rescue? Forgive me, merciful Father, when I avoid making any commitment to you, when I doubt that you really see my sin, when I disobey your commandments and am satisfied with only living for myself, who will rescue me? Forgive me, Lord, when I am quick to find fault, but resentful when someone points out my faults, when I am so soon to play and so late in prayer. Who will rescue me? Father, forgive me when I rejoice in the temporary, but think little of the eternal, when I am so fond of being idle, but show little passion for helpful service. Who will rescue me from my body of death? Who will rescue you and me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. He delivers us through Jesus Christ. By the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I, as a servant of the Word, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading from Exodus 15, verses 1 through 18. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 58. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my disciples to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to Christ. Well, this is most irregular, the moment of giving a message and celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, me here in my place and you there in yours. And the separation does in a way remind me of Israel in some of their moments in history in their time of exile. And the awkwardness that the people have recorded there, you know, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? A reminder that we are a body and spirit, and as much as our worship of our Lord is that of spirit and truth in the sense that location and place are not necessary for our worship of God, at the same time, the mention of spirit and truth reminds us that we are both body and soul, and body occupies space. And in that sense, then, our coming to worship God includes the sense of community, and with that, building or facility or a place of worship. And so as much as this is a resurrection message this day, I also anticipate with you coming together as the body of Christ and being together again in our place of worship here at Trinity and celebrating the resurrection more fully, more wholly with our community, but also in word and song together. I don't know when that day will be, but I know and anticipate it will be with you, and look forward to seeing you and celebrating the glory of our Savior's resurrection and his conquering sin and Satan and death, and thus bestowing to us new life by the blood. And curiously, I would like to explore with you today by the water that flowed from his side as the soldier pierced our Savior after his death. To kind of get into this whole theme, I'd like to explore the mention of water both in the Exodus, a hymn of praise that Moses and the Israelites sang to the Lord there in Exodus 15, but also in the broader witness of Scripture, and see perhaps how all of this comes together for us. So notice how Israel, in their moment of rescue, may we even say redemption of God by their release from Pharaoh, that this moment is facilitated by God's instrumental use of creation as a means or agent of their rescue and deliver. So Exodus 15:1, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. Here a reference to Pharaoh and the Egyptian army in pursuit of Israel in their crossing of the Red Sea. Continuing then, the Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Here, Israel's response to the reality of the historic moment and the truth that God has or rescued them through this water event, and highlighting Israel's weakness and defenselessness, their complete dependence upon God. Verse 3, then the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. That is, the great I am is his name. And by contrast, then, Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. This reference to history as a display of God's power and work on behalf of his own and bringing rescue and salvation to Israel. Verse 6, celebrating again attributing this to God, your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. We recall then that God's right hand is that of redemption and blessing and bestowing rescue upon his people. And God continues to be glorified in, as we read on down through this song of praise. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. And by the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. What a curious statement. The surging waters stood up like a wall, and deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. All of this to say, friends in Christ, we dare not trifle with God's judgment and the truth of his word as we live out our days before him. Clearly, the arrogance of this in verse 9, the enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will divide, I will gorge, I will draw, my hand will destroy, in the great contrast. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. And so here, a breath in this Old Testament sense is, you know, includes the notion of word and spirit, that which fills and animated Adam after being given a body and life and so on. But this includes also the sense of proclamation, but it is a reversal of the enemy's intent and so on. By the breath of God, and once again, the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. So the acknowledgement of God continues. Who among the gods is like you? Here, the distinctiveness of our God and his power over creation in all respects. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You know, highlighting the distinctiveness, the righteousness, the justness of our God. You stretch out your hand and the earth swallows your enemy. Again, remembering that creation is used by God here as his agent of judgment. We recall in the broader analogy of this that creation is also fallen with Adam and Eve's fall, and yet God's love prevails in redemption. In the expression that we read on, you know, his unfailing love leads his people, the ones redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. This the destiny of those whom God has called by his grace and his mercy. The contrast, the nations hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. Edom will be terrified, Moab sees with trembling, and Cain, the people of Canaan, melt away with terror and dread. All of this recognizing God's work and power on behalf of Israel, his people, and the way that the nations are brought to God. So this should inform our constant interpretation of the events of the world around us and the centrality of Christ our Savior and the significance of his resurrection. This will be the culmination of history, and we look to this moment and find ourselves not deterred or distracted by the carryings on of the nations or even our nation and all, anticipating the kingdom of God coming to and for us. Verse 16, by the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. So here again, we have this reference to the people of God passing by or through and being bought by God, but passing out of Egypt through water, passing into the covenant land through water, this passage of pilgrims to the place that God has prepared that will be like them being planted on the mountain of God's inheritance, the place of God's dwelling and his sanctuary, the Lord your hands established. So here we have God's people who were pilgrims in transition, helpless but never hopeless, waiting and trusting upon God and seeing his appearance and overcoming of all of their adversaries in the midst of their darkest and deepest need. So a great and wonderful application for us as we look to the resurrection of our Savior. But this is but half the story. For I'd like to turn to our attention to the moment of our Savior's crucifixion, in which the soldier thrust a spear into Christ's side. Water, we read, blood and water flow from his side. This from John chapter 19, not a part of our readings, but perhaps applicable for us today. Blood and water flow from his side. So the reference in John is to highlight two things for us prophetically. First, that none of Jesus' bones would be broken. This taking us back to the Passover event in which the lamb is slaughtered and its blood shed, but none of its bones broken. And a reference here then to Jesus as the Lamb of God again, none of his bones broken. But then the prophecy from Zechariah, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. The nations will look and mourn or grieve. So here the acknowledgement of the soldier in charge at the crucifixion of Jesus and his acknowledgement, surely this is a righteous man, surely this is the Son of God. So throughout the season of Holy Week and so on, we have had occasion to acknowledge the moment or the significance of the blood of Jesus shed for us, Jesus as the Lamb of God, and all of this, you know, a strong focus of attention on redemption. A reference to Leviticus, without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness of sins. And so as we look to Jesus as the Son of God, as the Lamb of God, the supreme sacrifice on our behalf, that we might be redeemed, that our sin might be paid for, that we essentially are bought by God, but also then given access into his presence and into the fullness of glory, ultimately the coming of his kingdom, the second coming or the return of Christ. So at the resurrection moment for us, I believe, is found in looking not just to the blood that is shed for us by Christ, but also to the water that pours forth from his side. And we could ask, what is the significance of this water? I'd like to suggest that first of all, water is represented, the sea and the great waters and so on, have always been for mankind that which we have the least control. That which brings ultimate terror for humanity, as we are largely, land creatures. It's fascinating to me to think even that we as a society, as humanity, made it to the moon long before we made it to the bottom of the sea. But, throughout the song of praise here from Moses and the Israelites is this theme of God using the deep waters, the waters to accomplish his purpose on behalf of his people. But that is one side of this. So clearly the waters judge, we could think of Noah and other events like that where water has been the agent of God. But also water as the means or the agent of God's redemption. So the people pass through the seas, the people pass through the river Jordan, and in the midst of that, God provides a water for them where Moses strikes the rock and water pours forth. We understand that Jesus, in that sense, spiritually is that rock from which pours forth the water, a water of life. So for us in the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, recognizing that redemption has come for us, and with redemption also the water, the blood and the water then water a new life, that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, so that, or for the purpose of receiving the new life of God. And this causes great joy and elevation, even as the women met Jesus in his introduction to them. They are overjoyed and they worship him, and yet there's this sense of fear or trepidation, the sense of uncertainty. What does this mean? That our Savior, who was crucified, is risen bodily and now is here in our midst. And dear friends in Christ, as we are each in our places, God is in our midst through the promise that Jesus gave in calling his people in the midst of their trepidation and their joy, in the midst of even some saying, I believe, that helped me in my unbelief, some doubted, yet Christ calls and commissions, and he sends with this promise, I will be with you to the very end of the age. So we celebrate this promise that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, and that not only are we cleansed, but we are filled with the new life of Christ, our risen and glorified Savior. And he is with us to the end of that moment in which he returns to take us to be with him in glory. And our Lord and our Savior has overcome all things on our behalf, and we await that overcoming, that passing over in relation to this crisis or this epidemic that we find ourselves living through at this time. God bless you and keep you in his peace and his joy, and God fill you with his new life, the life of Christ, our risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us pray. Rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord and sharing in his peace, let us pray to the Lord on behalf of ourselves and all people as we have need. O risen Savior, make us to burn with the fire of your love, that we may love you above all things and love our neighbors as ourselves. Deliver us from fear and relieve the anxiety of our hearts, that we may live out fully the hope planted within us and the new lives we receive in the waters of our baptism. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, hear us on behalf of our President, our Governor, the Congress of the United States, and all state and local elected officials. Guide them according to your word, that justice may be given to all, and those most in danger may live freely and without fear of threat. Bless especially the lives of the unborn, lest they suffer for our shame. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, across our nation so many are imprisoned. Bless prison guards and police, that they may act mercifully and serve with integrity. Bless those incarcerated, that they may be brought to repentance and faith and restored to a productive place within our society. Bless their families who love them. We ask, Lord, especially your presence in this time in which the virus is particularly rampant in our prison system. We pray for those impacted, those inmates, but also those who serve the incarcerated. We ask that you watch over each, preserve and keep their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, hear us on behalf of those who cry to you in any need, especially the sick, the suffering, the disabled, the wounded in spirit, those who suffer mental illness, and those in their last days on earth. Give them grace according to their need, and sustain them in their afflictions to the day when their sufferings will be exchanged with glory in the life to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, accept the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving from our lips and the tithes and offerings we bring before you, that these may flow from grateful hearts with delight in your mercy and who are thankful for all your gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Savior, before the words come to our lips, you know the desires of our heart. Hear our prayers as expressions of our trust, that you supply us with all things needful and keep us from all things harmful. O crucified and risen Savior, with the Holy Spirit and the Father, you reign as one Lord and one God. Hear the prayers of your people. Your will be done, O Lord, now and always. Amen. Loving God, receive us into your kingdom and teach us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.